Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button to edge God into your life. In the midst of all the to-do lists, all the shiny objects, you're hitting that pause button to learn a few things to help you be equipped to edge God in more today than yesterday. Our mission here is to champion human potential in Christ, to champion your human potential in Christ. Thank you for joining us. For more information and more podcasts, visit us at edgegodin.com. Today's topic is a good one. I have said that before and I'll keep saying it because the scriptures are so rich in giving us guidance in the midst of our fears, our self-doubts, and our worries. Our learning objective today is to learn six scriptures to help you cast out fear. The title of today's podcast is Fear Not. Fear Not. The scriptures that I'm pulling from today are actually scriptures that I used when I was diagnosed with advanced cancer back in 2006 and given 5 years to live. My children were 8, 10, and 12 at the time. I had 14 surgeries, 2 years of chemotherapy treatment, 6 weeks of daily radiation. The 14 surgeries were due to the experimental chemo and the radiation combination, which created third-degree burns from my clavicle down to my midriff. I had an open wound the size of an orange for over a year, and they had to graft my back onto my front. So you've often heard me say in other podcasts, I don't know if I'm coming or going most days, legit, because my back is on my front. So these are scriptures that I would use, similar to how Jesus used scriptures every single time Satan came against him in the desert. He pulled from Isaiah, and Satan's attack was toward his identity. If you are the Son of God, turn these rocks into bread. If you are the Son of God, cast yourself off of this cliff. If you are the Son of God, I will give to you all the nations. So he was tempting Jesus in three areas that we are often tempted in, which is the passion, our hunger for things, which was the power to be able to cast yourself off a cliff and have your angels, the angels hold you up. And the other one was popularity. Hey, I'll give you all these nations. All these people will follow you. And these are the areas that often continue to be the playground for the serpents, twisting our mind, twisting our fear. And today in particular, I was moved to do a podcast specifically on fear because there is a fear epidemic that's going on as a result of the coronavirus. And I want to speak life into this epidemic because it's shutting people down and causing them to hang out in the shadows of fear and anxiety. And there's a big difference between being high noticing around specific healthy protocol for protection and living in fear. And this is going to be our conversation today. I've actually pulled in a very dear friend and colleague to be a part of this conversation because she played a huge role as I was going through advanced cancer. And the conversation that I had with her back then, because my immune system was destroyed because of the chemo, I was neutropenic many times and I had absolutely no immune system. And although my family's back east, I continued to travel back east without an immune system. And my oncologist gave me a very powerful tip that I use today, which was he wasn't a fan so much of the masks. He was a fan of Neosporin and taking a little bit of Neosporin and just lining the inside of each nostril with that Neosporin and along with the protocol of not touching my face with my hands because I didn't have an immune system and it would go through the mucus. The viruses would often travel through the nose or the eyes into your ears. And so that was the protocol that I followed when I didn't have an immune system at all. I did a lot of traveling without a mask with the Neosporin and following that protocol. So again, we're coming back to the topic, which is fear not. Fear not. And there's a big difference between having protocol to protect you and continuing to trust in the Lord. And this is the conversation we're going to have today. And Julianne is actually the president and CEO and creator of something that I started to take and continue to take. I don't get any kickbacks from any of this. I'm simply just putting this out there because I've seen how much it's helped my life and my body, as well as other people that I've shared it with. Something called organic defense, something that I've been on since way back when I was going through cancer and when I got on the other side of it to reestablish my immune system that was pretty much shattered after going through the max amount of chemo, the max amount of radiation, as well as 14 surgeries with that anesthesia wreaks havoc on all my organs. So this has been one of my own personal self-care systems to reestablish a strong immune system. So let me begin in prayer, and then I'll introduce you to my friend and colleague who is absolutely brilliant and played a huge part in my own healing journey. Sweet Jesus, thank you so much for calling us by name today. Whenever there was an ounce of fear in the four Gospels, you spoke life into it. Fear not. Why did you fear? You of little doubt. The scriptures use the phrase fear not 80 times in the Bible. Give us the strength to truly back that belief up with our confidence and behavior moving forward. We ask the Holy Spirit to override those momentary hits of fear and anxiety that causes us to shrink back from the life that you died to give us. It is for life. It is for joy that you died to save us, to enter into life to the fullest. You have come that we may have life and have it to the fullest. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, as we read in John 10:10. You have come that we may have life. Part of having life, Lord, is to unzip and step out of fear. You know very well that I was tormented by fear of leaving my three children back in 2006. And you would speak life into that fear. And thank you for the opportunity to be alive on the other side of that experience so that I can share the scriptures that you laid on my heart so that I could speak back just as you did and declared the scripture over the attacks of the devil. So give us that attentiveness of spirit. What are the 1 to 3 things that you want us to take away and apply to our mind, our will, and our emotions now moving forward? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Julianne, are you there?
I am.
Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day. I know you have a busy schedule, and I'm just so grateful you responded to my invitation to join us on this topic today. And I'm so grateful for what you've created in this world. And we're going to speak a little more about that after we talk about the scriptures. But I want to invite you into the conversation with the scriptures today. So thank you for showing up today.
Oh, my great pleasure. It's always fantastic to talk with you and share scripture and just be emboldened by the words of our Lord.
That's a good word. That's a very good word. So 6 scriptures. You're going to be left with 6 scriptures, which is your learning objective for today's podcast, to actually learn these 6 scriptures, memorize them, keep them in your heart. So when you're getting that attack of fear, something bad's going to happen to you and your loved ones, that you can follow the protocol that our Lord and Savior set out for us when he was in the desert, that you will have these scriptures to speak back and declare in the name of the Lord. So the first scripture is Joshua 1:9. This one I had actually posted pretty big on my wall as I was going through advanced cancer and divorce at the same time. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous." Courage is actually the ability to move forward in the face of fear. It's not the absence of fear. It's the ability to move forward in a positive direction, just as David ran toward the battlefield line. So we have got this coronavirus, and it's become a Goliath. Julianne, what are your thoughts on that?
In terms of what?
In terms of just the fear that's walking hand in hand with this particular virus, what thoughts do you have in terms of an approach from someone who is following Christ? And when we read in Joshua 1:9, the rest of the scripture says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Yeah, I think one just has to take the scriptures and really hold on to them, because at the very basis of all that we believe, Christ and Father and Holy Spirit, it is not about fear. And so whenever we go into fear, for whatever reason, you can be sure that it's not of the Lord. And that for me is always a litmus test. I find in general, I can be a very fearful individual. And I have had to, just like you're doing today, find scriptures that I just literally put in the ground like a stake and say, no, this is what is true. Okay. The illusion is fear. Not that in this situation with the coronavirus, we really do have to take a number of steps to make sure that we are healthy. But the fear part of it is not helping us, right? It's making people freeze. So, and everybody has fear right now. The people have fear. The governments have fear. The governments in many cases are not telling the truth or downplaying it. And yet Satan is using that all against us. We, at the end of the day, have to come to grips with the fact that we serve the God who is God of all. And he tells us to fear not. And we have to grab a hold of that through the scripture, through his spirit, and say, no, and this is what I'm going to do.
Very well said. Very well said. That brings us to our second scripture. So the first scripture is Joshua 1:9. Second scripture is Deuteronomy 31:8, which says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. This was so powerful when I was going through advanced cancer, because they ended up finding more cancer a couple different times. And the diagnosis kept expanding, as well as the ramifications of the diagnosis. And so this one was very powerful, just visualizing as I was going through advanced cancer that the Lord is going ahead of me. This is a powerful piece of our joy in the Lord, because you can't have fear and joy at the same time, pure joy. So this is, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you or abandon you. Do you believe this as a follower of Christ? And does your behavior, your thoughts, your mind, your will, your emotions, do they reflect that belief? Because it's one thing to say, oh yeah, I believe. Check in with your mind, your will, your emotions, and behavior, because that's where you know that you truly, truly, that is faith that is resurrected in your mind, your will, your emotions, and your behavior. And do you believe that the Lord personally goes ahead of you, whatever it is that's causing you fear? We're talking about the coronavirus this morning. Whatever it is that's causing you fear, do you believe that the Lord personally goes ahead of you and he will be with you? He will neither fail you nor abandon you. This is such a powerful scripture to remind us that we are not alone. So Julianne, I know that you've gone through hardship as well, being part of this Earth School experience. What do you do when you kind of mentioned a protocol of speaking back? No, this is not true. How have you made that your first go-to rather than camping out on the land of fear for too long? How do you quicken that experience of, no, I have confidence because the Lord of heaven and earth goes ahead of me. He will never fail me or abandon me, even in spite of everything around me. How have you made that a reality in your life?
I think I've made that a reality through my experience, in the sense that we all become fearful. And yet, at the end of the day, Christ is, he's the only game in town, right? He's the only one that loves you beyond your understanding, your imagination, who wants the best for you. And Satan, it's always a lie. Even if it seems good at the immediate onset, it's always a lie. So even if you're stuck in fear, that you almost have to take it as an act of will to say, yes, I realize I'm feeling like this, and the feeling is a lie, because I know that Christ is always for me. I know he always has my back. And if I know that fear is not from him, fear is not from God, then this is an illusion. And I refuse to buy into that illusion. And I will go and I will grab one of my favorite scriptures. And if I have to repeat it 50 times, I will repeat it 50 times. Because your feelings can be so deceptive. And Christ tells us that. And we have to be strong enough to know the knowledge that he is always there for us. He's told us he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And so when we get assailed by our fears, I finally came to the point where I said, it's a decision. It's literally a decision. You know, either I'm going to be in fear, or I'm going to say, no, it's a lie. And I know it feels so real, and it's so palpable, and yet it's still a lie, because Christ has said, fear not. Christ has said, I am always with you. And I choose to believe Christ. And that's literally how I've gotten around it. I mean, to the point where you can be shaking in your boots and to say, I choose to believe what Christ is saying to me, regardless of my feelings.
Wow. That is such a powerful testimony. I literally have chills just saying. That is such a powerful protocol. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. And listeners, I encourage you to rewind this podcast and let that sink in, that invitation of choice to realize.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello? Hello?
I can hear you.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah. I thought I lost you for a minute there. Thank you.
No. I can hear you. No problem. We have a little technical difficulty here. That was such a powerful example of choice. Such a powerful example of choice, because Satan would like you to think you don't have any choice. And in fact, that's part of a panic attack. Stress is the power you give to outside circumstance to define what you believe you're capable of handling successfully. When you know your identity in Christ and you're not being hijacked by the outer world, then you know that you have that choice to move from the throne of Christ. The same spirit that rose Jesus Christ of Nazareth from the grave dwells in you. He promises never to leave you or forsake you or abandon you. He calls us out of darkness into the light, and also gives us that spirit of strength and courage, which is why in Deuteronomy 31:8, it says, do not be afraid or discouraged. Also in Deuteronomy, it says, I have put before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. It's a choice. Choose life that you may live, that you may love the Lord your God, hold fast to his voice over the voice of the world. You know that you're giving more authority to the voice outside of you when you feel anxious and your emotions are driving your bus, fear, self-doubt, worry, anxiety. You're giving more authority to the voices around you than to the voice of God. So that practice that Julianne, you're talking about here, is part of arming up, part of arming yourself up to be able to fight against the assail of the evil one, to stand firm at, with the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, and declare the glory of God and the strength of God over those voices that you're giving more power to. Because we are told, which is our third scripture in Psalm 91. Now, just to give this a little context, I had Psalm 91 opened in my Bible next to my bed for the entire time I was going through treatment for several years. And I would declare Psalm 91 over my life, no matter what the doctors told me, no matter what the diagnosis was. I said, even though they said this, you say this. And that's what I hear you saying, Julianne, that that's the conversation of that choice point. And in Psalm 91, particularly 9 through 10, this was one that I used quite a bit, particularly after the 5 years of treatment and they cut me loose, right? I didn't go back for another PET scan. I felt like I'd done the max amount of chemo, max amount of radiation. And that's when I started to explore alternative methods for healing and keeping a healthy body. Organic defense is one of them. And the verse that I would declare is, because you have made the Lord your dwelling. I would say, Lord, you are my dwelling, my refuge. You are the Most High. It says in verse 10, Psalm 91, 10, therefore, because I've made you my dwelling, you are my refuge, you are Most High. That's my choice point. I choose to make you my dwelling. No evil will befall me, will come against me. No plague will approach my tent. Talks about pestilence in Psalm 91, that this will not return to you again. I would declare that whenever I have fear about a reoccurrence, which was very, very high for me in my situation. And that this was back in 2006. This is 2020. Mm. Glory be to God. No evil will befall you, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. This is how you talk back to that fear. If you have fear about the coronavirus or anything else in your life right now, Psalm 91, 9 through 10. That's our third verse. First one was Joshua 1, 9. Second one is Deuteronomy 31, 8. The one I just referred to is Psalm 91, 9 through 10. Do you have any thoughts on that one, Julianne?
I really like that. Psalm 91, 9 and 10. And I know my dad always loved Psalm 91. I think it's the reason I love the Bible so much is, to me, it's a practical guide of God's faithfulness in the midst of humans' craziness. Okay. And Psalm 91 is just another example of when we're going through whatever it is, whether it's wars or disease, that he's standing there saying, you are mine. And I will take care of you. And we need to stand in that. Hmm. We need to stand in it. And as you had said, it's a choice. It's a choice. And it's somewhere in Joshua. I can't remember the exact verse. But you probably know it. But it says, choose this day who you will serve. Mm-hmm. Fear or faith. And... Mm-hmm. You know, there are days when I've walked around saying that out loud and then finishing it by saying, I choose faith. Hmm. So it's, I love these verses. And when I was little, I went to a parochial school and we had to memorize all these verses and it drove me wild. As an adult, I so appreciate it because the Holy Spirit brings back all those verses that I learned. And they pop into my head at very needed times. And that's the beauty of God, of Christ, of the Holy Spirit, never letting us hang out there on the ledge all alone.
Mm, I love that. Choose this day, fear or faith. That's a powerful verse from Joshua.
And the thing that just really catches my imagination about it is the words. Mm-hmm. This day who you will serve. Mm-hmm. Because it brings to my mind the fact that you're serving someone and it's either Christ or not. Mm-hmm. And if it's not Christ, you know, you're in the wrong ballpark.
Absolutely. I love that. Choose this day who you will serve, fear or faith. That's a powerful one. That's one to add it on, making it a clean seven. See if you can find that.
I'll look for it, yeah.
That reference while I introduce the fourth one, because I'd like to add that one. Choose this day who you will serve, fear or faith. That's a good one. Moving on to Matthew 10, 30 through 31. So we've gone through, this is our fourth scripture here. And this is Jesus referring to the anxiety. Do not be anxious for the day. Do not be worried about today, because we worry so much during the day. Obviously, this is something that's been going on for a long time. You're no shocker to God that you're worrying and being anxious. Jesus was speaking into this. He said, even the very hairs of your head are numbered. I remember this when I lost all my hair. I'm like, well, you knew how many hairs were there, and I have confidence you'll remember, and you'll give them to me all back tenfold. So he knows the very hairs of our head, how many that they're numbered. He's sharing this to let us know that he knows everything. There's nothing that is unseen by God. And Jesus follows up right after that. Do not be afraid. Fear not. You are worth much more than many sparrows. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father. This is the invitation Jesus is speaking about in Matthew chapter 10. He's speaking about, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worry about itself. Then he uses the example in nature. How many times do you see an anxious tree or a flower or birds in the air? Your Father in heaven knows the needs and takes care of the sparrows. And in nature, it's just cyclical. God is in charge. Like a fish swimming through water, it's engulfed by God. You are engulfed by God. Therefore, fear not, because you're even more worth more than what you see in nature, that Jesus is saying in Matthew 10, 30 through 31. We move on to Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What can a pestilence do to you? Even in death, God is victorious. So we're separating living in fear and healthy protocol. You can have healthy protocol and not be afraid. It's that fear part that causes us to do behavior that's extreme and without consultation with the Holy Spirit, and also consultation with those people that are in charge and do understand the nature of this particular virus. So be curious. Be curious about what exactly is the truth in this situation, because there are so many lies out there that are all formed to make us fearful. It's fear or love, fear or faith. And so that fear part, Satan is very crafty at. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. I've declared this one many times because they found some tumors on my, a couple of years later after the 5 years of treatment, they found some tumors on my ovaries in that area, and I refused to have my ovaries taken out. I had a double mastectomy, and that was enough. When I leaned into it, I said, that's enough. I'm not taking my uterus and my ovaries for my particular situation, even though they recommended it. I did some research and decided not to do that. And I would declare these verses and say, if I'm wrong on this choice, Lord, you make me aware of that, but I'm going to do some research and make my own decisions on this with your strength and guidance. So do your research and leave fear out of the factor of that research. Lord, I'm curious. Send me the information I need to be wise, and also protect me from deceit. That's a daily prayer that as followers of Christ, we can include to be able to protect ourselves from deceit that's surrounding us. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking to devour us through deceit, through lies, smoke and mirrors. He can't create any truth. So he uses truth to distort it. Did God really say that? Did they really say that? And know that he'll attack your identity. You're not safe. God's not faithful. This might affect all the people that you love. He's going to plant lies in your head, and you're the only one that's the gatekeeper to prevent that, to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So our fifth scripture was Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Knowing that information allows us in verse 6 to say with confidence, God's my helper. I refuse to be afraid. What can man do to me? And you can fill that in with anything else. What can this situation that I'm in do to me? What can this opinion that someone has of me do to me? What can this pestilence do to me? Dear God, make me wise in my choices. Is there any piece of information I need to know in order to be safe and healthy? You show me what that is. In the meantime, my set point is calm and confidence, because the devil's desire is to do the opposite of that, to make you anxious and afraid. What's your insight on Hebrews 13, 5, 6? And did you find that other scripture, Julianne?
Not yet, no.
No worries.
But no worries. I will find that. To me, Hebrews 13, 5, and 6 is just bedrock, okay? I mean, it's like Christ is giving us such a standing place there. I never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. As if he's reading our thoughts as we're shaking in our boots. And I love that. And he even gives us the verbiage basically to say the Lord is my helper, and, you know, to grab onto his staff, so to speak. And I just, all these are just so empowering. And that's really where Christ wants us to be, in a position, in a state of empowerment, knowing who we belong to and whose we are. And in fact, I wanted to say something about the verse with the sparrows, because I heard many years ago a wonderful little detail that made me think about that verse in an even more miraculous way. And that is, in the Hebrew culture, sparrows were so worthless that if you bought two of them, they'd throw in one for free. They were that inconsequential. Okay? And so when Christ uses the visual, you are worth more than the sparrows, he was really like reaching down into the culture of that time and something that they thought was so worthless they'd give you more of. And he was just bringing it home. You are worth so much. Okay. I know all the hairs on your head, which your example was so far beyond what I could ever give. But I know in the shower in the morning, hair comes out of my head. So my count changes daily, you know, and it's like, it is so comforting to know that God keeps track of that. And all these mundane examples that he gives us to draw us in, to show us how much we're cared for, to reinforce the fact that he's never going to leave us. He knows all these silly little details about us. And it's like, that's why studying the scripture is so powerful, because you begin to understand, as I said earlier, how much he loves us. And when you begin to understand that, you are clear that he would never leave you.
Or forsake you. And that he gives us that spirit of strength and courage to move forward with confidence in spite of shaking in our boots, as you say. Right. I love that visual, because we've all been shaken in our boots at different times. And it's a matter of, dear God, I give you permission to override my mind when I'm shaking in my boots, to remember the truth of my identity in you, that I can live a fearless life, and I can trust and surrender all to you, even during those moments of shaking in my boots, that I can give you more authority than my circumstance, no matter what that might be. And I know, Julianne, just from being in touch with you throughout the years, you and I both have had incredible earth school experiences to be able to practice that. So to listeners today, I ask you, invite you to think about when was the last time you were shaking in your boots? And how quickly did you return to the knowing of your identity in Christ, to the point where you experienced that power that overcame the fear, that power that overcame the emotion? What do you do when you shake in your boots? How long do you stay there? This is an invitation with a specific tool to help you arm up in the name of the Lord, who knows every hair on your head, who knows every word before you speak it, who knows your emotions and what catches you, and who calls you out of fear into faith and love, which brings us to our final scripture today, 1 John 4:18, one of my favorites. And I really wrestled with the Lord on this one, when particularly after when they found more cancer. And I had a clear conversation with my oncologist and said, I want to know what you guys are talking about behind closed doors. What are you saying around my case when you throw my x-rays and my PET scan and everything, you guys are conversing as to the best way to treat this. What is your desired outcome? And he took a deep breath and he said, well, it's our desire to get you 5 more years. When I heard that, I thought, no, I refuse to give that power over what I know God can accomplish in my life. And I would declare 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. I would call Jesus out on this. Lord, you declared, you said in the Holy Scriptures that there's no fear in love. I need an extra portion of your grace right now, because I am literally shaken in my boots, as you said, Julianne. But perfect love drives out all fear. I remember saying, Lord, your perfect love can drive this fear out, and I give you authority over this fear so that I can return to peace, because I know nothing thrives in a state of war or in a state of fear. And I choose healing and restoration no matter what I just heard, because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. I would also speak to the Lord about that. Lord, I'm fearing right now. So obviously I have an invitation to grow in my ability to experience your love, because love drives out fear. So increase your love in my mind, my will, my emotions, and my behavior. Help me to respond to knowing how much you love me. And may that be my sword, my helmet, my feet firmly fitted in the truth of love in the Scriptures, so that I could, like David, run toward my Goliath, whatever your Goliath is today, and run and not grow weary, walk and not faint, and run with confidence that the Lord is my vindicator. The Lord is my restorer. The Lord is my refuge. I shall not fear. Declare this. Don't let fear be the boss of you. Right, Julianne?
Absolutely. And to me, it's also about asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
Not about just sort of like standing there, gritting my teeth, closing my fists and saying, I can do this.
No, absolutely. I appreciate you saying that.
It's about literally saying, Lord, I need some help here.
Yeah, exactly. Help me out.
You have to shift these emotions for me.
Yep.
You know, bring your peace in. I need your help. I cannot do this in my own strength.
Mm.
And that is probably one of my biggest challenges, because remember Martha and Mary in the Bible? I swear to God, I am the original Martha.
I thought I was.
No, I am always doing, and helping God.
Striving rather than abiding.
Oh, Lord Jesus, yes. And my lesson, my life lesson is, Julianne, I've got this. Let me accomplish this for you, through you, but it's me, not you. Mm-hmm. And so while I'm on, and while we all go on our mini fear journey at times, I think it's so important to just stop occasionally and saying, Lord, please come into the middle of this situation. You bring your light, your love, and shift my feelings. Give me a clear vision. Because this earth suit is tough sometimes. Mm. You know, it's just
so true.
We're in some ways a bit of at a disadvantage with our emotions. They're an amazing gift, but Satan can, in many cases, twist them. And one has to be wise enough and discerning enough to ask the Lord in and saying, Lord, need help now.
And very true.
To me, that's part of, you know, abiding in him, that mm. you have to know when to call out for help.
Absolutely.
He never meant us to do this all on our own. Mm. Never. And that's the, you know, I've heard this, and I'm sure you have, years ago, that if Satan can't get you by, one, being an unbeliever, he'll get believers by making them be miserable. All right.
Ooh.
And that's what fear is about. Because
Say that one more time. That's worth a repeat.
Okay. The gist of it is, if Satan can't get you by having you not believe in Christ, he'll take a Christian person and make them so miserable and disabled by whether it's fear or anxiety, depression, whatever it is that's your weak point, so that you are basically not as useful in the kingdom as he wants you to be, not grabbing the abundance in life that he wants you to have. He'll make you so paralyzed that you are not living your vision for Christ. And we can't allow that. We can't allow that.
And yet we do.
Well, we do, because I really believe that he knew that part of our challenge would be being in this, as you call it, earth suit. Mm-hmm. And it's true. I mean, our emotions are a gift, and yet they can be very daunting at times when they overtake us, and the subject of our conversation, fear. Mm-hmm. And so we have to put it in perspective and remember who we are and who we belong to. Mm.
That's so beautifully said. I've really appreciated your input on today's podcast. There's actually a podcast that was recently recorded called Are You Abiding or Striving?
Yes, and I listened to it. It was wonderful.
And it's a good one for us Marthas out there in the world, just saying, are you abiding or are you striving? Another choice point. So we're at the end of our podcast, and I want to just end with picking up the conversation about organic defense, because I feel that this is something of value to be able to share, particularly at this time in the midst of the fear of the coronavirus. Can you share with us briefly what is organic defense and why does it work on viruses, including the coronavirus?
Okay, yes. Organic defense is really interesting, and it actually came out of an inspiration where I was so sick I didn't know what to do. And that, being a Martha, is quite something for me. I always have at least one alternative of something to do. And many years ago, I was so sick that I just couldn't figure out what to do. And I always believed there was an answer. And what organic defense is, and the raw material I ran across, is something called humic acid. Now, this is where it gets really, really fascinating. Humic acid is basically fossilized plant material that has been buried in the earth for thousands to millions of years. So basically, it's dust, okay? But it's a very profound kind of dust, if you will, because It's loaded with amino acids and trace minerals that are so beneficial to the body. But here's my great point of humor, is that Christ tells us in the Bible that we are dust, and to dust we will return. And isn't it fascinating that what can help us so profoundly with our health, especially with viruses, is basically dust or dirt, all right? It's from the earth. And it's just fantastic to me that God has that kind of sense of humor, okay? What humic acid is, as I mentioned, is fossilized plant material, but it is probably the most complicated molecule on the face of this earth. And it's rich in amino acids, as I said, and also trace minerals. And what it does and how it works is, it's twofold. One, it basically modulates the immune system, all right? It's, imagine like 1,000 soldiers standing on a wall, and they're just standing there and they're waiting, and they're waiting to see when the danger is approaching. That's basically what the humic acid and organic defense does. And when the immune system is faced with a challenge, what it does is it begins to regulate the immune system so that when the immune system needs to be boosted, it will boost it more aggressively. And when the immune system needs to be sort of laid back, it'll lay it back down. This going back and forth and regulation of the immune system is key because it's all in how the immune system modulates itself. So, for example, we all know about arthritis. Well, arthritis is a situation, especially rheumatoid arthritis, where the body is over aggressively attacking itself. So going back to thinking about balance, one of the things the organic defense humic acid does is it helps the immune system remain in good balance so it can rev up when it needs to and slow down when it needs to calm itself back down. That is what they're always trying to accomplish with artificial intelligence and all the medications. And here God has given that to us naturally. Now, the other thing that the organic defense does is, as you mentioned earlier, viruses come into your system through your eyes, through your nose, through your skin. What the organic defense does inside your body is that the molecule inside the body is very large, and so it encapsulates the virus. It coats it. And why that's very important is that viruses can't reproduce on their own. They need to go into your cells. They literally poke a hole in your cell, and they go inside, and they begin replicating. But if the virus can't get into your cells, it can't replicate. So when the organic defense humic acid comes along and encapsulates the virus, it literally renders it sort of ineffective. It can't attach to the cell. And then the immune system will come along and take out that encapsulated virus. So it's a two-prong approach. And what the other thing that's brilliant about it is that humic acid is basically energized by water. Our system, our body, is such a high percentage of water. And when you take the organic defense humic acid, it basically supercharges the water. So nutrients are brought into the cell more aggressively and toxins come out. So God has created a perfect system for us to maintain our health. And that's pretty much basically what organic defense is about. It's about being in harmony with the world around us through this marvelous material that's in the earth.
That's so powerful. I take one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And when I start to feel or know that I've been around, like traveling, I'll up it to 1 a.m, 1 p.m, 1 p.m. And then if I feel like a cough coming on, I do 2, 2, and 2 for a day or so, until I feel relief of symptoms. And then I go back to that. But you've done such a great job of writing all this out. Because I know whenever I get my organic defense, you've written all this out, so it's easy to follow. Where can listeners, if they want to get some for themselves, where can they go to do that?
You can go to my website at organicdefense.com to read all about organic defense. And when people order, I do send a dosage chart out that explains what to take when. In this time when everyone is so concerned, probably the best way to proceed is just take one in the morning and one in the evening, as you were saying, what you do. And then if you're in a crowded area, like if you're in a plane or in a big group, I would be taking one 3 times a day. Mm-hmm. And then, as you were saying also, if you start feeling like you have the sniffles coming on or a cough, given the nature of what's going on, I would go up to 2, 3 times a day until you feel the symptoms pull back. And so you're totally right. And I do send the dosage chart out, because the doses are different for different situations, because certain viruses are more aggressive than others.
Mm-hmm. So, I know my friend who had... she had shingles.
Yes.
And this has been a game changer for her. Yeah. It's literally changed, totally made it go dormant. I mean, she doesn't even have any symptoms at all. It's just been, I've heard tons of different stories of different things like that, from shingles to herpes to, gosh, any virus. You even mentioned AIDS on there, and now the coronavirus. And viruses are viruses. It's definitely just a gift from God in my life. And I just wanted to include that as something, another option for people to arm up and not live in fear, but take action and have smart protocol. Again, using that Neosporin a little bit in each nostril, as my oncologist gave me that tip. I've been doing that ever since I went through cancer in 2006. So you mentioned also a code. When people are checking out, what is the code that people can use to get a discount?
Yes, the code is simply friends and family. And it's all spelled out, friends and, A-N-D, family. And all lowercase, nothing hard about it, just no spaces in between. Just put it in there, friends and family.
When you're checking out, and then you'll be able to get the auto ship price, which I have it on auto ship anyway, because I've been on it for so many years. Again, I don't make anything from this. This is simply just sharing good information out there. So, Julianne, thank you so much for being with us today. Any closing thoughts before we close shop for today?
Well, I would just say, don't live in fear. It's mm-hmm. not your birthright.
In Christ, amen.
your birthright is to be empowered and stand in the Lord and stand in his light. And when you find yourself going in a different direction, just know. One of the Bible passages that's always really guided me is from Timothy, where it says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." Mm. And that's one of my favorites too. So fear not, step into your birthright of being empowered, and claim what's yours.
In Christ, absolutely. Well, I really, truly appreciate your presence, your fellowship, as well as your words of knowledge through the Holy Spirit today, my friend. Thank you for showing up, as always. I'm grateful for your life and your witness and the gift that you're giving of organic defense. Again, it's organicdefense.com. You can explore it for yourself. Ask for wisdom, guidance. Is this for me, Lord? He's given me everything I needed. He doesn't leave you empty-handed when you ask. Again, the point that you made, Julianne, is to ask for that help, just as Peter did when he was looking at the waves, giving more authority to the waves rather than the power of Christ within him to walk on top of your fear and to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Sweet Jesus, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the opportunity to choose. Thank you that we do have a choice point, to choose fear or faith, to choose love or fear. Give us the strength this day to choose faith, to choose love more today than yesterday. We give you permission to override us when we're looking at the waves around us, the fear of viruses, the coronaviruses, sicknesses, the opinions of other people, not moving ahead, financial worries, health issues, relationship worries. You are Lord over all of it. And just as Julianne mentioned from 2 Timothy 1:7, you did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. We want to live in that, God. Show us what that's like and help us. Oh, my Lord, my sweet Jesus, help us. Because we forget, we get scared. The flesh is so skittish, and yet the spirit is so willing. So we give our spirit permission in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to guide our flesh so that we can run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Help us, dear God, to live more in your love today than yesterday, because there is no fear in love. Your perfect love drives out all fear, all fear. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for pausing today and joining us to edge God into your fears, your worries, your doubts, to champion your human potential in your identity in Christ today. Visit us at edgegodin.com and give him heaven out there, because there's enough of the other side going on. Outshine the darkness. We look forward to connecting with you again soon on our next podcast. In the meantime, know that God loves you, and that love is bigger than whatever you're afraid of today.